Good morning and welcome. I call the Senate Education Committee to order. It is Friday, February 17th, and the time is approximately 8:03 a.m. In attendance are Co-Chair Meyer, Vice Chair Davis, Senator Stevens, Senator French, and myself, Senator Thomas. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Prior to taking up the regular order, do we have anything else to come before the committee? Seeing nothing, today we'll continue our discussion of SB 194. We went through the bill on Monday and Wednesday, and we began hearing public testimony. We have taken your concerns into account. Today we are ready to hear the committee substitute. I would be willing to entertain a motion to adopt the committee substitute at this point in time.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 194, version 27, LS1190/I.
Thank you. And I will object for the purposes of discussion. I'll have Murray Richmond come forward at this point in time and go through the changes and give us a better feel for exactly what the committee substitute does.
Thank you. My name is Murray Richmond. I'm co-aide for the Senate Education Committee and aide to Senator Thomas. I went back and highlighted the changes. Most of them I went over on Wednesday, but made a few changes based on your comments on Wednesday. So we're looking at the work, the piece I passed out to your staff that's got, it's got yellow markings on it. So if you're on that page, then we'll be able to stay together. So the first change is on page 2, line 15. There was some issue with the language that we had used previously, because when we talked about highly qualified teachers, we had used a term that the federal Department of Education uses as a technical term, and Senator French raised the notion of what happens to teachers who are already there. So we changed that language to provide incentives to attract and retain high quality teachers and principals. So we take care of that. The next change is on page 3, lines 27, 28, and 30. And that is defining the requirements of the audit, and we just added the degree of throughout. The next change is on page 4. On line 8, we deleted school or district. We deleted the part or district. And that has been done throughout the document, so that now this bill refers only to individual schools. So every place where the old bill said school or district, now it should just say school. And I won't go through all of those deletions, but that was done throughout the whole document. The other change was change governance council to revitalization advisory council. And again, this occurs throughout the entire bill. I did not mark every change that this happened, but that's a global change for the entire bill. On line 4, pages 10 and 11, we added the phrase, in conjunction with the local school board and district superintendent.
I'm sorry, page what?
Page 4. Okay. On line 10 and 11, we added the phrase, in conjunction with the local school board and the district superintendent. And the next word that's underlined there, actually, because it's a separate change, I wanted to mark that with an underline. We changed the word shall to may. The next change we made, going down to line 25, a school that has not been designated as a revitalization school may request the local school board to establish a revitalization advisory council. So rather than requesting through the department, they're requesting the school board to do that. The next page on line 31.
Can I ask you a question?
Certainly, anytime.
Just a little confused in the maze on the showers. The first one on line 25, you say the, I guess the department may request the local board to establish a revitalization council. And the next one, C, says that establish a revitalization council for each school. The school board, what does that line, what does C say? So first in B, you've got the department may request the school board to establish a revitalization council. Well, they clearly couldn't.
In B?
They want. In B,
You talking line 25 fee?
Line 25. It does give the school board the option. The administration may request it.
That is correct. This is the optional. If a school realizes through the chair that they need some help in some areas, and they have not been designated as one of the 17 schools, they can ask to be put on that list if they like.
And the next one, C, says that the school shall establish. Just make sure I understand.
The next C provides to those lowest 17, lowest 17 schools, the 3%, the lowest 3%. If a school has been designated as a revitalization school, and that's the lowest 3% of all the performing schools, then a council will be established there.
Once the department pulls the trigger, says this is a low performing school, then you're going to have a revitalization council?
Through the correct. Chair, that is absolutely correct.
That's correct.
But when you say B, may, that doesn't really say you shall.
Because in that case, the school itself is requesting it. There's no trigger mechanism.
Okay.
Again, through the chair, if a school is looking and saying, we're not one of the lowest schools, but we can do better, we just don't know how, and we need some help, they can request through the local school board that they be established. Have a revitalization council that the department would work with to help them improve.
Hopefully that makes it clear to people, and that is the distinction there, that when a school gets to a point where they feel on their own that there's an issue, they can ask and request that the school board establish a revitalization council. So versus the idea where it's just became evident to everybody that there is a huge issue and that the department is looking for relief and a process. Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the last line, 31 on page 4, it says shall consist of 13 members. 13 seems like a large number for an advisory council, and I would think in some of these areas they may have a trouble getting people to serve on this. Are we dead set on 13? I mean, is that had we reached that number?
The number kind of grew when we looked at adding more school board members to it rather than the one that was in the original. We thought that it was reasonable to have more school board members, and then we ran into this issue somewhat with the, you know, not realizing that in some areas there's only 5 school board members in some places. So the number 13 is not necessarily magic, but we did try and spread it around to get the community involved, and maybe we grew it too much, but that was the intent, was to get that community input, which seems to be one of the largest issues over the whole issue of revitalization districts or districts that are having difficulty, and the idea of the department intervening and straightening the issues out without that community support and involvement. So maybe the number is a little large. We can certainly take a look at trimming that down, yet still trying to include enough school board members and community folks. That was, and I think we could probably trim that down a little bit. 13 is getting to be a pretty large.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know what the magic number is, but when we say shall, I think that pretty much ties their hands.
That's true.
And I don't want to get into shall and may arguments, but we may want some flexibility there.
Through the chair, on page 5. Section E, line 15, there is a provision for districts that just are a one school district to have a waiver from the 13 requirement. That could be expanded to smaller schools, and we could also add school size in there as well, so they could get a waiver.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. On the same
yes, sir.
So it appears that in the editing process, we've lost designated school board members in this lineup. Is that true? Because I thought one time we had so many school board members. Now there, in those 6 categories, there are no school board members, are there?
Yeah, there should be.
Through the chair, the school board may put on members. They're not necessarily required.
Where does it say that?
The legal changed some of the language there. On D, on page 11. for a local school board.
Before you go there, just look at page 5. It lists who the members of that revitalization board are, and there are no school board members on that necessarily. And when we looked at it earlier, you had said 2 to 4. So in the editing process, you've removed the school board.
Through the chair, in the editing process, what happened was we had, in the earlier version, we said that no more than 3 could be members to limit. The community leaders could be the 4 community leaders. The school boards have the option of appointing those as school board members.
I think that's what Senator Stevens' concern is that it does not directly say that regardless of whether they're also community members or leaders or business people or whatever, is that the school board should be represented on that, and we should just accept that we need to enter that into one of the parameters that seems more directly answering the question rather than that, you know, that may happen through D here, which I understand the concern.
Mr. Chairman, I know we're trying to move this along, and I don't mean to
slow things
down.
Not a problem. But I agree with you.
I think one of the things that I really have heard that I do like out of this, and a lot of things I don't like, but one thing I do like is that the school boards had a liaison to this revitalization. The school board has all the power. We've covered that, all the authority, all the responsibility, legal and otherwise, and it's very important that that they be involved in this process. So I thought having a couple of members of the school board was just ideal because they could take it, as long as it's not a quorum, they could take that information back to the rest of the school board and everyone would know what's going on. And in the way we've structured it now, it's possible they could be left out.
Yeah.
And we could have a revitalization board that does not include school board members, and consequently there would be no interplay between those two groups, which would be pretty unhealthy, I think.
Through the chair, the school board is the one that actually appoints the council.
I understand that.
That's true, but it doesn't have any.
I think we could actually change the word in D to shall and work on making sure that that in fact, if we did change just that word, and I'm not saying that's the for sure answer, but it to me would at least alleviate some of the concern, and I think we can also shore that up also in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and maybe a 7 that indicates that there will be members, and then D would qualify 7 or something like that, saying that it shall appoint not more than 3 of its members to a revitalization advisory council or something like that.
Mr. Chairman, and just if I could finish that thought,
sure.
We should also, I assume everyone knows that they can't have a quorum, but you might want to mention that the number of school board members could not be a quorum of the school board.
In D, that is actually addressed, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. In Section D, it says a local school board consisting of more than 5 members of the board may appoint not more than 3 of its members to the advisory. So they have the choice of appointing those members.
Two.
They couldn't appoint 3.
Not more than 3.
They couldn't do 3 with 5 members. They have a majority.
The next sentence says, for a local school board consisting of 5 or fewer members, the board may appoint not more than 2 of the members.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. When you read through it, I think we can make sure that...
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
On that same topic, why not... Does it have to be 4 parents, 4 community? You could take 1 from each one of those, give the 2 slots to the school board and have it included in the numbers up there.
You certainly could, and we can amend it right now if people feel they have a solution to it. Doesn't make a lot of difference to me. I think that 13 is an unwieldy number, and I would be more than willing to change the 2 fours in 1, the 4 parents or the 4 community leaders to 3 and 3, and that gives us 2 slots as a minimum, and then work with the language a little in D to make sure that we satisfy the concerns, because I think those are legitimate concerns about the board mm-hmm. being represented on this revitalization council. So you can leave it for us to do, or we can amend it right now. We can create an amendment, or however you want to do it. It's fine with me. Senator Frank.
While we're puzzling on that, maybe it would be helpful if we knew which schools we think are going to fall into this category. I would think the department could sort of give us an idea of which schools these are going to be, because I think a lot of us are struggling with the idea that there's just not enough bodies to go around and fill these slots. And, you know, if we knew that they were going to be you know, if we got a snapshot of one of the schools, we could say, gee, you know, two teachers, one teacher should do it, you know, or maybe one community leader, one parent, and then lean on the school board. Do we have a sort of an idea of who these schools are going to be?
Boy, I don't know that we could guess in advance who they will be. We know the issues and the areas at this point, you know, the five revitalization I'm even getting away from the term that is generally used of the five areas that do have problems. Two have settled their issues, but still three remain. But I would be hard-pressed to anticipate in the future what issues may arise and where that may be. And certainly they have been in some smaller rural areas, and it may well be that we don't necessarily say that it has to be absolutely 13 people or 11 people. But I think that reducing the number a bit and ensuring that the school board is represented is certainly important.
I'll go along with whatever the committee thinks best.
Mr. Chairman, follow up on that.
Yeah.
And maybe I misunderstand this, and if I do, straighten me out here. But no. It sounds to me like there will always be 40 revitalization. Always there will be 40 revitalization councils. Is that true?
17.
Which sort of goes to what? 17.
Through the chair, 17.
Okay. Always there will be 17. Yeah.
Depending on the number of, it's a 3% figure, but 17 is currently what that would be. As the number of schools go up and down, that could change.
Gotcha.
So do we want to set a maximum number? Do you want to reduce that number from 13 to a more workable number, or make that a flexible number that they can go up to, that particular?
Mr. Chairman, I'd go with the flexibility, because, again, we don't know what size of population base we're looking at. We can only speculate. So given some flexibility, I think, would be the better way to go.
Through the chair, we could strike the number 13 and then strike the actual numbers in 1, 2, and perhaps 3. And give the communities flexibility, knowing that there just must be representation from those particular communities.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's a good idea. And because also because some of these people are going to be parents as well as community leaders and maybe even a teacher. Who knows? You know, they could fill several categories. So I think the idea of flexibility is a good one.
Okay. So you want to try and figure that out here today, or do we want to leave that for us to come back with this at a later date and have those numbers a little more flexible? And also, we haven't gotten all the way through the bill, or maybe some other issues that people want us to work on as well.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to hold this up, so I think it might be easy if maybe your staff has a recommendation and we can make that amendment and move ahead if you're ready to.
Through the chair, what I would recommend at this point is that we strike 13. Let me look at the exact language here. Shall consist of members appointed by the local school board as follows, and then
to include as follows.
To include as follows. I'm working on the language. I don't know if we just want to say consisting of parents, consisting of community leaders, teachers. I'm not sure that two is an excessive number, but we could take that out if you wanted, and just have teachers. One representative from the department, the principal of the school, the superintendent, and then also change in D, line 12, change the board shall appoint not more than three of its members, and then with the proviso for smaller boards, change the shall to may.
How about thinking as you go through these, starting on page 5, line 2, why not say one or more parents, one or more community leaders, one or more teachers, one representative of the department, the principal, one or more school board members, consistent with D, and then the superintendent.
Yeah, I'd That would be acceptable. I also just changed the fours in the first two to two, and also with two teachers, and we brought the number down, and then with D clarifying that it shall have, as Murray indicated, whatever language he had, I think that that kind of takes care of at least the concern in this area as far as numbers of folks as well as who they are.
It just sounded to me from the discussion that we wanted to be sure there was at least one school board member on there, and it may be that the school board member is a teacher, maybe that they're a parent, maybe that they're a community leader. So it's a little tricky doing it on the fly, but I think we're getting close.
Did we add a new category, one or more school board members? Is that, did I hear you, sir, through the chair?
I think that's where the committee is going. I think they want to see at least one. And I guess the last thing I'm trying to think of is maybe that you wanted to say, it doesn't have to be, if a person's a teacher and a school board member, that could count as both. You know, it's sort of up to the local school board. I mean, the school board's going to know better than anybody else who their resources are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little tough from here in June to sort of pick out in the community who the perfect representatives are. But I think we're getting close.
We may also want to strike the nominated by members selected under 1 and 3 in line 5 and have the school board just appoint the commission.
Yeah, nominated, I see. That's a.
Let's not make it more complex.
Another layer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's try and make it simpler. I think we're getting to the point where we know what we want to do here. We're talking about making sure that on a board where the school board has five or fewer members, we're going to have at least two, and if it's a larger board than that, then we're going to have at least three board members, and we're going to reduce the numbers, yet have some flexibility for the first two categories, anyhow, of parents or community leaders. And with that thought in mind, if that kind of covers people's concerns, maybe we'll go through the rest of the bill, see what else there is that concerns us, and then if there's time yet today, we will either give direction, and Murray's going to be leaving early, and or actually amend the bill and then try and move it on as amended.
And through the chair, I have a 10 o'clock plane I'm going to be on today, so if I leave, it has nothing to do with anything that's happening in committee at this time.
No pressure.
Yeah. I have a ride waiting for me at 9:45, so 8:45. So,
are we getting at the issue? You think everybody believe we've discussed that enough and be able to?
Frankly, I'd be comfortable just as a conceptual member for you guys to address at finance. I mean, I think you've heard where our direction is. I don't need to. You know, we could keep tinkering with the numbers. You know, probably for the rest of the day. but I think we've given some clear sort of direction about got to have a school board member. Should have some flexibility in the numbers. People should come from different categories, but they might wear two hats in a small community.
Yeah. That's true. Do we believe, I guess, just to get a little clearer direction on that, do we believe that for the larger school boards, those that are over five, that there should be at least three school board members, and for those that are under, or that are five or under, that at least two, so that we don't have the quorum issue, yet we have plenty of representation? Is that... I see people nodding their heads, but...
Yeah, no, I think D is well-crafted. I think you want to make sure you've got representation, but you don't want to have a quorum.
Yes, yeah.
And it doesn't specify, I think we've decided we've got to have at least one member on there as a liaison.
And I think we may want to be, I think Senator Stevens' concern is that we should have more than one, and probably the number of three and two, depending on the board itself. And they may as well be parents or whatever, too. So we'll have the flexibility in one and two to make sure that we don't lock ourselves in too tightly to that, but just make sure that there's a fair representation of the board on the council. So if that's acceptable, we'll go through, we'll continue on and see how we see how things sit when we get to the end of the bill here.
The next page is on line 7. Yes. Page 7, line 15.
Okay.
There was some concerns about the department kicking in over and above the school board and things like that. We deleted that section and essentially added the part in two If no agreement can be achieved, not later than 45 days after the last meeting of the school board and the Revitalization Advisory Council. And just for backup, in this case, the Revitalization Council has offered some changes that they think would like to see happen, and the school board looks at it, and if they decide no, and this is what this refers to, the local school board shall report to the department the reasons for rejecting the model developed by the Revitalization Advisory Council. And that's more for information purposes. It's one way to check up on whether this is working or not. The report is if councils are consistently recommending things and school boards are overturning it, then clearly this is not working. If, on the other hand, they're recommending things and they're being adopted, then maybe this is working. So this is just a reporting factor. And in line 19, it gives the school board the ability to accept all or part of the model. When the Revitalization Council offers their report, the school board can say we like 1, 2, and 4, but not 3. And then they can adopt 1, 2, and 4 and aren't required to adopt 3 in this particular case. And then we deleted the language that required the department to come in and adjudicate between the Revitalization Council and the local school board. And that concludes the changes that were made.
Okay. Are there questions regarding that final change anyhow? Seeing none. So how should we proceed? You want to make a conceptual amendment or just amend it now? So we pass that on, or do you want to give us guidance to amend that in finance? Either is fine with me. So if you have, we could do one now and it can be adjusted later, but that would probably be messy. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think we should put it in there, but it doesn't have to come back to us. All they have to do, or your people have to do, is have it drafted with the amended that we suggested, and just say it's done and give us a copy of it, because I want it to be in there when it goes to finance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to leave it up to them to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a test that we should do.
Through the chair, and this is a technical question, can we pass out a bill that's a different CS version without the committee adopting that? And I don't know the answer to that question.
You know, I bet if we went off the record for about 5 minutes and
it's going to take long to do it.
We could craft something that we can amend and send on.
Let's do that, if that's acceptable. Back to order. Senator French, you have an amendment?
Yeah, this would be amendment number one.
Amendment number
Chairman.
One.
And on page 4, line 31, before the number 13, we'd insert the words up to. So the advisory council can be up to 13 members. Then on the next page, on line 2, we would delete the word 4 and insert one or more. So it'd read one or more parents or guardians.
Okay.
Same change on line 4, delete the word 4 and insert the word one or more.
Okay.
Same change on line 6. Delete the word 2 and write in one or more teachers. And then I'd insert a new sub 7 and say one or more members of the school board.
I'm sorry, the last change?
Would be a new sub 7. After 6, it says the superintendent, then the new sub 7
right.
would be one or more members of the school board.
Okay.
Make it crystal clear you've got to have at least one. And I think D tells you, you know, if you got a bunch of people wearing different hats, you can't wind up having appointed too many school board members, so
that's right.
Have a quorum.
Through the chair, we were also going to delete line 5.
Line 5.
Nominated by members
nominated.
Elected.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I think that's a good amendment to the amendment, or let's just make it all part of the same amendment.
Yeah.
That is, the school board is just going to have more power to nominate the revitalization. I think that makes
so sense. We're going to take out the entire line 5.
And line 3. Right? The parents and the...
We're going to take out the word nominated.
That would be consistent, I believe, sir, through
right.
the chair.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's turn to our friendly...
Removing that concept of nomination.
That makes sense? Okay. No, that's okay. I was just wanted to make sure we were getting it all down. So that, I think that's the conceptual amendment.
And I'll, okay. In lines 11, 12, 13, 14, the two shalls, the mays, did you have any concern there?
I think it's the way you want it to read. You don't want to wind up with a quorum of the school board on the Vitalization Council. You've got to have at least one, and you can't have a quorum.
I think you're right. I think leaving the mays in now that we've adjusted the other areas is appropriate. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Certainly, Senator Meyer.
Not to put Senator French on the spot here, but...
Do it.
Page 4, I'm with you. Page 5, could you repeat that?
Sure.
And I think it'll be good for the record keepers.
I think that is a good idea. Starting on line 2, delete the word 4 and insert the word 1 or more.
You want to...
And then on line 3... Delete everything. Delete nominated by parents or guardians of the school. So, yep. So sub 1 would now read one or more parents or guardians of the school of one or more parents of guardians, one or more parents or guardians of students attending the school. End of clause.
Yep.
Sub 2 would read one or more community leaders residing within the school district. End of clause, meaning that you've deleted nominated by the members selected under
correct
1 and 3. Sub 3 would simply read one or more teachers at the school.
And removing.
Want to delete nominated?
Yep.
Okay. And deleting the word nominated by teachers of the school, consistent with the first two. And then leaving 4 alone, 5 alone, 6 alone, and inserting a new sub 7 that says one or more members of the school board.
And then we're leaving D alone, and we also started with the up to on the previous page, 13 members.
Yep, up to.
Okay.
And you may wind up with 7, which would be a good number.
Okay.
We've got 7 clauses and 7 categories.
Okay. We will accept that... Senator French has officially made that amendment number 1. Is there objection? We'll adopt amendment number 1. If there's no objection, that should be proper, should it not? Okay.
You're the chairman.
All right. I consider it is. I will also, at this point then, I guess I will remove my objection. Is there further objection?
I think we just need to explore this a little bit more. And I'd like to hear the department if we could. It doesn't seem to me that the intervention system we now have is so broken that we've got to do this. But I'd like to hear, I mean, do you think it's reasonable to hear from the department what they think this does and if it's necessary at this time?
We certainly can, and I know that there's differing opinions on that regarding the districts, but we certainly can hear from the department. Of course, Murray's going to be leaving probably by the time they're done, but we can certainly have Mr. Morris come forward and put him on the record and see what his...
Maybe just briefly, I don't want to...
What his thoughts are,
yeah.
And then we...
For the record, my name is Les Morse. I'm the Deputy Commissioner at the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. I guess in answering the question first is, how does this differ from what we're currently doing? When we currently intervene in a school district, there is not necessarily a local advisory revitalization council. This kind of a structure does not exist. And we don't insist that it exists. However, everywhere that we have intervened, I should say for the most part where we have intervened, it's been in areas where the law requires advisories at the local level. They just don't have this kind of a makeup. And we haven't done anything in our work to engage them, other than I would say that we work with principals on good leadership practices, which obviously good leadership practices would involve doing this. So I suppose a local could do this right now under our intervention, because in our interventions we don't attempt to prevent anyone from doing anything that they may want to do. But there isn't a requirement for this component. So it adds that requirement for this component. And then when we look at the schools, depending on how all the regulations would come out, but I think we'd work to try to make sure anything we put in place is consistent, so we don't have two different models running around out there. We may be serving slightly more schools with this. I'm not sure about that. We've looked at doing it different ways, and it comes out right now that this is probably about the number of schools that we serve. However, there's a lot of different pieces in here, and the way that it's suggested here might be slightly different in the number of schools. So I can't say that with absolute, because I can't determine what the next round of assessment results will look like. I don't know if that answers the question or not.
So how long have we been doing the current intervention model? How long has that been in place?
Really about 3 years in terms of the current model that has the coaches provided by the state, because prior to the passage of the state law that allowed us to do intervention, we were intervening in districts, so it goes back to actually 85. But the current model that has sort of a robust mixture of coaches that go in and support schools, that really came about because of legislation passed that would put state statutory authority to intervene, and that came with sort of a cadre of coaches that we could put in place.
Thank you. No, I think that answers my question.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator French, go ahead. Just a question about which schools might land on this list, and I was going back to the Moore settlement, and there was a helpful appendix that listed, I don't know if you were familiar or remember seeing this, but
if I could look at it.
Schools and kind of their scores. I just didn't know whether that's a statewide list or just a list of schools that got developed through that particular case or not, but I was just sort of trying to envision in my mind which schools would be affected by this legislation. That looked like a likely list, but I just couldn't tell if it's comprehensive. For example, I see no schools from Southeast there, and maybe that's a great thing for Southeast, or maybe it's just because they weren't intimately involved in the case.
Through the chair, Senator French, the list that you refer to, which is from the Moore settlement, is consistent in terms of the districts. I can't speak directly to the schools, but I remember the districts when we did this sorting. It really comes up with the same district. So in the Moore settlement, there was an agreement to determine the 40 schools that struggle the most and recalculate that each year. And as I look down this list of districts, it looks very similar to the list of districts that were represented when we did the analysis for the fiscal note. And so what you, by and large, are finding is that there, I do see one district that's along the road system, but most are in areas that aren't connected to roads, so there is flight costs between villages and those types of things. And even in the one that is represented on the road, it's a pretty rural area of our state. And so this is a fairly consistent list with what you would see, I think, yes.
Thank you.
Senator Stevens, just the last question. We have schools that are having difficulties, and it's your job to hold them accountable for the money we give them, for what they're doing. Does this at all impact your ability to hold schools accountable?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I don't believe that it does. I think it actually, if I'm reading the intent, is to try to really engage community in this process. I don't think it prevents us from doing the work that we need to do.
Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate that, because that was our intent. You know, we thought that there was quite an issue brewing, and we see that in another bill in the other body. So we thought that was the solution was not to try and do away with intervention districts because we don't think that can actually take place. I guess it can, but I think it's ill-advised. Obviously, the numbers that were on the numbers of districts and schools on the list that Senator French just referred to. So I think we need something, and I think that a broader look at it was what we were trying to do and enhance and work with the department to try and solve the problems rather than create a fight, you know. So that was our intent anyway. So you're right in interpreting what our intent was. So the bill makes some sense to you. That's good.
That is good.
All right. Other questions, comments? Hearing none, we have adopted the amendment. I've removed my objection. Senator Stevens did not state an objection, but just for clarification, needed some information. Is there anything else that we need to clarify before we possibly move forward? If not, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know. There's a fiscal note, but we'll let the finance committee worry about that.
Okay, yeah, it's well, there is a fiscal note, and we hadn't talked much about that, and no, no people actually had an opportunity to take a look at it, or whether you want to just refer that on.
Normally we let the finance committee worry about the fiscal notes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move that we move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 194, version 27LS1190/I, as conceptually amended, with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so move. Is there anything else to come for us this morning? If not, we will adjourn at 8:45. Thank you all.